It is a Ball Friday tradition. It's the Game Plan, our chance to talk Maine Black Bear football with Bob Lucy, brought to you by ClearPoint Capital, the official financial advisor of the Maine Black Bears. Call Mike Toole at 307-7718. And by Creative Print Services, whatever your business needs, Creative Print Services is here to help. Bob, we're here in Greensboro, North Carolina, our second trip down here to see this beautiful facility that hosts the Elon Phoenix, a team that joined the league back in 2014. Hard to believe.
Joined the league in 2014, Rich, and since they joined the league, they have beaten every team in the CAA.
And they've had success getting to the postseason each of the last 2 years.
Yes, and they also went to postseason in 2009. So it has been a program that I think has really started out well in the CAA, a program that's well-respected. They had a particularly good team last year when they had a veteran offensive line and they could really get the ground game going. Unfortunately, last year, they were banged up and injured. They lost Davis Cheek, their starting quarterback. They lost their top running back. So they had a lot of injuries going into postseason last year.
And, of course, we remember what happened when they played Maine last year up in Orono. The Black Bears got off to a big lead, and then Elon came roaring back. And in many ways, you could say Maine might not have won that game had it not been for the work of Ernest Edwards.
Yes, Ernest Edwards and the two kickoff returns saved the day for Maine. And you look at the numbers in that game, Rich. They outgained Maine 432-234 in that game.
Wow.
In Orono.
Well, this year, we're off to a good start. Had some impressive wins, a nice victory over Citadel early in the season, but it's been very much an up-and-down year for Elon, and the biggest low came last week here in North Carolina, where they were beaten at home in five overtimes by William & Mary.
Yeah, you don't see five overtime games very often, and that was a bitter pill to swallow, I'm sure, for them. William & Mary, though, had a great game plan. They had 502 total yards and 326 yards on the ground to go along with 176 yards passing for the William & Mary Tribe. They played very well.
And because Elon only scheduled 11 games this year, that may well have taken them out of the postseason, because I don't think anybody gets in this year with just six wins.
It's going to be tough. I mean, they've got the Maine game, then they've got a bye, and then they're at Towson for the final.
So it may be a tough stretch for them the rest of the season here. Well, let's start with Maine's offense. Joe Fagnano, their true freshman quarterback, has been playing so well. Each week he seems to get a little better, and what's been most impressive about Joe Fagnano the last couple of weeks is the fact that he's had no turnovers.
Yeah, he's played exceptionally well, Rich. He's minimized mistakes. He's protected the ball. He's been very accurate with his passing. And he's given Maine that dual threat. His ability to run, his ability to be deceptive with the fakes inside, his ability to use play-action passes and then get out on the corner and put that defense in a bind. Is he going to throw? Is he going to run? I think he's just played exceptionally well. And you know, when you look at the numbers, in his three starts, he's passed for 951 yards, 11 touchdowns, and he's done a great job rushing. He's got 142 yards rushing this season.
And just one interception as a starter.
Yeah, yeah, very impressive, Rich.
And, of course, Maine will look to generate a good run game as well. Joe Fitzpatrick has been their go-to guy this year, but I thought last week was maybe the best performance we've seen from Emmanuel Reed.
I thought Emmanuel Reed ran the ball very well last week. He had 50 yards rushing, had a touchdown rushing, averaged 4.5 yards per rush, and you get what you always expect to get from Joe Fitzpatrick, tough, hard-nosed running. He had 77 yards rushing and averaged 5.9 yards per rush. Maine rolled up some really good totals on the ground, 169 yards rushing, and that's going to be important again against Elon.
And give credit where credit is due. Maine's offensive line has been very good in the last couple of games.
Yeah, they have, Rich. It's a veteran group. I mean, they had four starters back from last year. I think they're healthy now. They're playing well together, and they're opening up some holes. And they're also doing a good job protecting Fagnano in the pocket.
This Elon defense giving up 180 rushing yards per game, 210 through the air, and allowing 27 points per game. They've got some talent, and you mentioned the big guy up front, Tristan Cox, 6'3", 324 pounds.
He's an athlete. I remember him as a true freshman. He's got a quick first step. Obviously, he's very big, hard to move around in there, Rich. And I think he's one of the best nose guards in the conference.
And they've also got a dangerous guy back there on defense in Greg Liggs. 7 interceptions this year, 14 in his career.
Well, he's a playmaker. He had 7 interceptions this year, Rich, in the month of October to lead FCS football. And as you mentioned, over his career, he's got the 14 interceptions, also 25 pass breakups over his career and 107 tackles. He's a real good player.
They've got an interesting mix of veterans and some very young guys back there on defense, including 2 true freshmen starting in their secondary, but they've been putting up good numbers.
Yeah, they have, Rich, and I think what they've done is they've got a good blend of youth and experience. And again, that's maybe why they've been up and down a little bit, but I think, you know, one of the guys back there along with Greg Liggs Jr. is Daniel Reed Bennett. He's a very experienced cornerback. He's a very good player. He's got 216 career tackles, 5 career interceptions. So those 2 cornerbacks are about as good as there are in the league.
Yeah, Reed Bennett this year, 9 pass breakups to go with 2 interceptions. So for Maine, offensively, the key, obviously, is to generate that run game, get the good mix, don't turn the ball over, and time of possession likely to be important.
Well, I think it is likely to be important. And, you know, one of the things about Maine, Rich, is when they get the ground game going, everything else seems to unfold the way they want it to. They get the time of possession. They've got the offensive balance. They keep the defense guessing. I think Maine needs to come out and establish a physical presence on both sides of the ball. That's what they did last week in the win over Albany. They ran the ball well. They attacked on the snap defensively. And I think Maine's got to make some big plays with their playmakers. They've been very explosive this year. Over the last 8 games, they have 11 touchdowns of 40 yards or more,
including a school record 90-yard touchdown pass last week from Joe Fignano to Old Town's Dre Miller, breaking their own record set just a few weeks earlier when they had an 87-yarder. Miller's been a big play guy, but he's going to be a game-time decision for the Bears tomorrow.
Yeah, had an injury to his lower body in a Tuesday practice. Now, I did see him walking down the steps coming off the plane. He looked like he was moving okay, but certainly we haven't seen him running around. But, you know, you look at what he's done this year. He's an explosive guy, as we know. But I went back, and over his career now, Dre Miller has 44 receptions for 816 yards, 18.5 yards per catch, and he's got 5 touchdown catches, averaging 55 yards per score.
That's not bad at
no.
all. Bob Lucy here on the game plan from Greensboro, North Carolina, Maine, and Elon tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock as we look at this offensive unit for Elon. They've got Davis Cheek, the veteran quarterback out there, 1,700 yards, 13 touchdowns this year, but otherwise, it's been a fairly unimpressive vanilla offense, both running backs, Thomas and McNair, averaging less than 4 yards a carry this season.
Yeah, and you look at the overall numbers, only 125 yards rushing per game, 3.4 yards per rush, passing offense under 200 yards, only 11.7 yards per catch. So it doesn't seem like it's been a real explosive team where they're making a lot of big plays. But I think they're methodical. They're very good at what they do. And Davis Cheek is typically a quarterback that does not turn the ball over a lot. You know, he had 4 interceptions at New Hampshire, and that was very much out of character for him, Rich. And so I think he's a guy that presents some problems because he's intelligent, he's experienced, he throws a good ball. He's not a real good runner. And he had a knee injury that knocked him out of action last year. So I don't know how much we're going to see him running. But they've got a backup quarterback, Joey Boffman, a 6'1", 201-pound redshirt freshman out of Wadsworth, Ohio, who just happened to be the 2017 Ohio Mr. Football. And he's come in the last 4 or 5 games as the dual threat guy. And that's a dangerous thing for Maine because they've struggled with dual threat quarterbacks this year. But Boffman has run for 169 yards and 4 touchdowns. He's averaging 5.8 yards per carry, and he's also 5 for 5 passing. So he's a guy that Maine's going to have to watch as well tomorrow.
And, of course, Maine suffering a big loss on defense. Their outstanding cornerback, arguably the best cover guy in the country, Manny Patterson, going down with a knee injury last week. And that's so tough to see. He's been such a great player for Maine, had started over 40 games for the Black Bears. And you hate to see it at any time, but especially toward the tail end of a guy's senior season.
Yeah, absolutely, Rich. He has been a tower of strength back there as a cover corner. He's been on an island, if you will, for 4 years, and he's done a phenomenal job in that press man coverage. He's been a good leader. He's a hard worker, and you hope that he can heal up and be ready to take a shot at the NFL because I think he's got that kind of talent and ability. And you look at his career numbers, Rich, 54 career pass breakups, 3 career interceptions, and as you mentioned, over 40 starts to get 41 career starts more than anybody else on Maine's football team. He started as a true freshman.
And that means a big responsibility falls on the shoulders of Shaquille St. Laud. He's got 17 tackles, 10 pass breakups on the season, and he did very well last week coming into the game and being assigned the duty of staying one-on-one with their talented receiver, Juwan Green.
He really did, Rich, and he's got good size. He's 6 feet, 195 pounds. He's out of Montreal, Quebec. He's a very good athlete. You look at some of his strength and conditioning numbers, Rich. He's 4.7 in the 40. He's got a vertical jump of 37.5 inches and a team-high broad jump of 10 feet 6 inches. So he's an explosive athlete, and I think he welcomes the challenge. He got his feet wet, if you will, against a really good receiver in Juwan Green for Albany last week. He's going to have a couple of other tough receivers to go against tomorrow.
I thought Maine's defense last week, yes, they gave up 31 points, but I thought in many ways it was their most inspired and most aggressive defensive effort of the season, and that paid off with 3 forced turnovers.
Yeah, I think you're right, Rich. I think the key was that Maine went back to that press man coverage, and Albany hadn't seen that all year, and they decided we're going to do that, and we're going to put them in some difficult situations, and we're going to turn the heat up, play high-risk, high-reward defense, and that's what they've always done. And I think the players like that. It's fun, and they really attacked on the snap. I thought their defensive line played really well, and they got pressure on Undercuffler. He made some great throws under pressure, but at the end of the day, that pressure forced turnovers, and that's what they needed to get the win. Maine had 21 points off turnovers in that game.
And seven of those came from one of the unsung heroes of last week, Ori Jean-Charles, the transfer tight end from Louisville. The Black Bear coaching staff moved him to linebacker last week. They thought he could be more productive there. He had 6 catches for just 15 yards at tight end. Well, all he did last week was get a pick 6, a 47-yard interception return for a score, and then catch his first touchdown pass as a Black. Athletic director for external affairs, he's been searching through the record books, and we still don't know who the last Black Bear was, if anybody, to score offensively and defensively in the same game.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's ever happened. They're still trying to research that, but Ori Jean-Charles is a really good athlete. He's got the ability to play on both sides of the ball. He's 6'2", 220 pounds. He's only a sophomore out of Munsey, New York. He was a dual-threat quarterback, Rich, in high school. Had some big numbers. He had 20 touchdown passes and rushed for over 1,000 yards and 5 touchdowns as a senior. So he's a guy that, you know, I think can play well wherever you put him. I really like the move. I think he gives them an athlete with good size, with great potential and upside. He's only a sophomore, and I look for him to play quite a bit at that outside linebacker position through the last 3 games.
Maine won the last time these two teams played down here. And, Bob, you've got some interesting numbers on Elon in the month of November.
Oh, indeed I do, my friend. In the month of November, since 2011, they're 4-22. But it gets better after the first weekend in November. Since 2017, they're 0-7.
Wow. That's not good.
No, well, it's surprising in a way because they've, again, gone to the playoffs the last 2 years in 2017 and 2018. But this is a program, you know, I think this is going to be a very difficult game tomorrow. I think it's going to be a hard-hitting affair, and it's going to be very interesting to see how the matchups play out. Football's always about matchups, and I'm excited to see the game.
Well, it's going to be big, certainly for the Maine Black Bears. They know they need to win every game to keep their playoff hopes alive. A Maine win tomorrow would even up their overall record at 5-5. It would make them 3-3 in the conference. And when you look around at the CAA schedule tomorrow, that Towson-Stony Brook game is an elimination game. The loser of that, pretty much out of the playoffs. Albany-Delaware, if Delaware is not already out, a loss tomorrow would knock them out. A win by Delaware would leave Albany in precarious position going down the stretch. New Hampshire is at JMU. If New Hampshire wins, that may be enough to get them into the playoffs. But if JMU wins, Maine in a couple of weeks could potentially knock New Hampshire out. And then a big game with Richmond and Villanova. Richmond can ill afford another conference loss with a 3-3 record in the CAA.
Yeah, it really is. When you look at, there's really 10 teams that still have a possibility at winning out and going to postseason. JMU's obviously in, but other than that, it's going to be very interesting week in, week out to see how these teams match up. And, you know, if you're Maine and some of these other teams, it's just that one game at a time,
right?
Focused on that next game, 1-0 each week, that type of thing. But I think it's hard not to look ahead, particularly for us. If we get all this stuff graphed out, we like to follow the scores during the game and talk about
it. Well, yes, and so let's do that for a moment and look to next week, the last home game of the regular season, as the Bears welcome Rhode Island to town. And, Bob, when's the last time the Rhode Island Rams beat Maine in Orono?
Well, Rich, that would be 1998. And they beat Maine 18-17. I have no recollection of that game. But Maine has beaten Rhode Island 12 straight times, 17 of the last 18 games. And we remember the last win for Rhode Island was in 2006, a 3-0 win in Kingston in a sou'easter.
Oh, yes, indeed. And then, well, let's play it out to the other extreme. If it gets to the last game of the season, and how big would that be with Maine and New Hampshire, a possible situation where both teams need to win to get into the playoffs. But how long has it been since Maine has won at Durham?
I believe Maine's last win in Durham was in 2002.
Wow, yeah. Well, there you go. That sets the stage for these final 3 weeks, but it all begins tomorrow as the Black Bears take on the Elon Phoenix, a 2 o'clock start from North Carolina tomorrow afternoon. Robert, that's the game plan. We got a little more show to do, and then we'll continue our preparation because, again, it's a business trip.
Yes, it is a business trip. Are you training us for the cold weather tonight and tomorrow? Because it's really cold in this hotel room. You turn that temperature down to about 62. I'm shivering.
Well, I want us to be ready.
Okay.
I don't want the body to have a big adjustment tomorrow. It's the game plan here on Downtown, brought to you by Sea Dog Brewing Company, the home of the Black Bear Coaches shows, Front Street in Bangor, and by Creative Print Services. Whatever your business needs, Creative Print Services is here to help. Over 150 years of combined experience, creative sales and service reps meet the needs of customers throughout the state and beyond. Big jobs, small jobs, out-of-the-box jobs. Let the team at Creative Print Services bring your vision to life. Color printing, business forms, stationery, or specialized printing. Trust Creative Print Services to provide you with a complete set of solutions that meet all your needs. Give them a call at 947-2250 or visit online at creative-ps.com.